I'm Kate Remington, and today I'm talking with Todd Ellison. He's currently directing the revival of Annie on Broadway, and he's also going to be conducting the New Haven Symphony in a Pops concert featuring music from Tin Pan Alley right up through the Great White Way. And Todd, it's so nice to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You'll be teaming up with Tony Award winner Debbie Gravitt for this wonderful program. She's got an amazing voice.
Oh, she's unbelievable. And I've actually never worked with Debbie before. This is the first time. We've known each other forever. And it's hilarious to us that we're finally getting to do a concert together. She can sing any style, any song, anywhere. I actually went to see the Philly Pops in April. They were doing a James Bond concert. I thought, oh, that might be fun. So I went down there, and she actually was singing some of those songs, and she had me in stitches because those lyrics aren't exactly, you know,
they're not poetry.
No. No. And she had costumes. She had she was just having the best time up there, and I thought, oh boy, I want to work with her. And then New Haven called and said, you can work with any singer you want. And I thought, it has to be Debbie. So we're really lucky that it worked out, that she actually wasn't working this weekend so she could come to New Haven.
Well, one of the things that I'm really curious about is how you settled on the program, because clearly there are decades and decades of great songs from musicals, and it must have been tough to whittle down the list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so much to choose from. And when you say the Great American Songbook, which is what the series is, Broadway was such a huge part of the American Songbook in the golden age of Broadway, the 40s, 50s, 60s, and a little bit today. There's a couple songs from today that we're doing, like Defying Gravity from Wicked. Everybody seems to know that, and if they don't know it, they're like, I've heard about that, and I want to hear that song. And so we just went through, you know, basically, Debbie's never sung with the New Haven Symphony. I've never conducted the New Haven Symphony, so it's both our debuts. And we just said, well, let's just do the pieces that make us happy. And so she picked out of her huge collection, she chose the songs that she wanted to sing out of all her huge collection of orchestrations that she has for herself. And I got to pick from the New Haven Symphony Library. They had selections from a bunch of musicals, and so we're doing A Chorus Line and West Side Story and Fiddler on the Roof. So it's really awesome for us to be able to perform songs and material that we love.
Well,
for an audience that we've never been performed with before or for before.
And they will love you, I mean, as soon as you get out there, I think. What's really nice about the selections, we mentioned Girl Crazy and Wicked, and it's kind of like a little core sample of musicals from all of these different decades. And it's really interesting, I think, to hear how Broadway musicals have changed over the decades, too.
Absolutely. People are, you know, a little reticent about the current musicals, the new ones, because they feel that there's not any melodies in those. But there are. They're just, the material's a little different. It's a little unfamiliar, maybe. It's not all Oklahoma and South Pacific. It's, you know, Wicked is a whole different beast. But still, everybody knows Annie, which I'm doing, mm-hmm. which I conduct nightly on Broadway. And we're not doing any songs from Annie in our concert. But it allows us the chance to do and to bring material that we wouldn't get to do on a normal, everyday basis. And that's what makes it fun for us.
Well, it's interesting how there are, just as in classical music, there's Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, and they're sort of like the foundation. The Gershwins are kind of the foundation of musicals. And I'm wondering what it is in particular you think that makes their songwriting just so absolutely brilliant.
Well, between the lyrics, it's the melding of the lyrics and the music together, that the two brothers, one wrote the lyrics and one wrote the music, and just the fact that it came together so incredibly perfect is and stands the test of time. That's what's really quite amazing. And it's accessible. People know it after hearing it a few times. They get it, and it's just, it's interesting because it's accessible music for everyone.
And it's really timeless, too. I mean, they really focused on
absolutely
things we can all relate to, like suddenly falling in love and everything's just perfect now. So and then on the other hand, what makes musicals interesting as time progresses is that the songs really become part of the story. You know, in the Gershwin musicals and Rodgers and Hart, the songs are great, but there's very little plot. And so
yes,
as you go along a little bit further, all of a sudden the musicals really seem to have much more of a story.
Yeah, I think that's when everyone hit their stride, when the musicals were really at their peak, was when we hit the days of Carousel and Oklahoma and South Pacific, the Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff, because Oscar Hammerstein was a very big proponent of fusing story with song. Showboat was a show that he did that got pretty close to it way before Oklahoma. But then the 30s came and there was still a bunch of silly shows with just songs shoved in there. But then he really did push the form in the 40s and 50s with his musicals and had the songs move the plot along. They weren't just songs. They actually had something to do. They were continuing the dialogue through the songs, which was an innovative concept, which is hard to believe. And that's what we all do now in our when we go to shows. They're all mostly they're unless they're like a jukebox musical. They're furthering the plot in a way beyond the dialogue.
Well, do you think that as musicals continue to evolve in the decades to come, do you think Wicked and Cats and the musicals that are playing now, are they going to be looked back on as significant as the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, do you think?
I think that Wicked has got a timeless story for generations to come, just like Annie did. Every new generation discovers Annie for themselves. And I think the same thing will happen with Wicked, because there's definitely the girl demographic that has responded to Wicked is changed over the 10 years that it's been running, and it's going to keep going. And a new generation of girls are going to discover that story as well. And I think there's definitely, I've done a couple of musicals that never ran more than 2 weeks, like Amour, which was a lovely show. It was written by Michelle Legrand. But that's maybe waiting to be discovered 20 years from now as something a little more that might be rediscovered in 20 years as something more than it was actually at the beginning. And then I did another show called The Wild Party by Michael John Lacusa that ran about 3 months, and I think that was way ahead of its time. And we'll see if the 25 years from now the audiences respond to that as something new and fresh and groundbreaking, kind of like Chicago. I saw Chicago in the 70s, and it wasn't a huge success back then. It wasn't until the revival, you know, almost 20 years ago, that people rediscovered that and thought, oh, this is completely timeless in its own way. And then it became a movie, and it's still going strong all these years later. It's quite amazing.
Well, it is, and I guess there's really no way to predict which one's going to be a hit until reviews come out and people hear the songs over and over and decide what they really love. So
that's right. You never know, especially when you're working on a new show. You just have no idea. No idea. I worked on Monty Python's Spamalot, conducted that, and we didn't exactly think we were a smash hit. And it wasn't until our first audience when all of a sudden, because we had stopped laughing at all the jokes about 6 weeks previous in rehearsals. We laughed once or twice, and then it became part of our show. And by the time you get to your first performance, you're like, oh, my God, no one's going to like this at all. And then all of a sudden, that opening night audience went berserk for our show. And we thought, oh, my gosh, we actually are a hit. We just had no idea.
Well, that must have been a wonderful, wonderful moment.
It was a big surprise for us. It really was. It was like, wow, people like us. Who knew? Yeah.
Well, Todd, thank you so much. It was really so much fun talking with you, and thanks for spending the time to tell us about the concerts this weekend. And I know that you'll have
thank
the audiences
you.
With you from the first note. So.
We're going to have a great time. I'm playing the piano. I'm conducting. Debbie's singing. It's just we're going to have a party. It's going to be a really fun time.